The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
But let's get right into our conversation as I welcome you to the Overdrive here on Freedom 106.5 FM. We would have chatted in the past, and after that conversation, I was accused of being a Griffith light. You know, you is one of those people who follow Gary. But for me, I want to kick the conversations off as with the SOE to begin with. Now, I have advocated and said that the SOE serves as a plaster on a sore that requires stitches and maybe plaster Paris or whatever it is. What are your thoughts with Dr. Rowley's pronouncement and the government's insistence that they are saying does not affect the law-abiding citizens? Because we know in the previous SOEs from 1990 to when the other government in 2011 did it, it was like taking antibiotics. You know, antibiotics doesn't recognize good or bad cells. So it kills everything within the area. And that SOE served to affect law-abiding citizens, person trying to make an honest dollar. However, this one doesn't. What is the difference? And what are your thoughts? Share it with me this afternoon, Mr. Griffith.
Yeah, sure. Good afternoon again. My take has always been a state of emergency is not and should not be used as a crime-fighting tool, as straightforward as that. In 2011, I was National Security Advisor. I was asked by the Prime Minister, and I said, I told her exactly that. Eight or nine murders in 5 days, that does not warrant a reason to have a state of emergency. Almost exactly what could be done with a state of emergency could be done without the state of emergency. What you have is you can have a national security alert state where you lift it from green to amber to red to black, and you lift the escalation of the national security apparatus and the manpower strength and so forth based on the threat to the country. And that is where you do not require a state of emergency. A state of emergency right now, there are five or six main things. Firstly, intensified patrols and operations throughout the country. That could be done without the state of emergency. The second thing is a lot having use of the Trinidad Tobago Defense Force to utilize them to support the police service. That could be done without a state of emergency because the role and function of the Defense Force is an aid to civil power to support the police. And all of the extra roadblocks and whatever it is, that could all have been done without the state of emergency. What is used in a state of emergency that cannot be done outside of a SOE is that it gives the soldiers powers of arrest to apprehend, which I think is incorrect. That is inappropriate because they can abuse that authority. Secondly, you can break into homes without warrants and you can hold persons indefinitely. Those last two can only be based on lack of intelligence. So is it that we are calling the SOE because of lack of intelligence by the law enforcement agencies that you want to give them more authority to apprehend persons and hold them against their will without due process, without just cause, without evidence? And that is where it will go right back to the same thing as 2011. So the boast we're getting are 130 persons held. Yes, they will be held. But if it is you don't have enough to verify that you can have them properly charged, they're going to do the same thing as 2011, even though this government has put a clause 6 to get out of jail free card. They say, well, listen, you can't sue us if we break down your door and we kick down your and we damage your property and we hold you against your will. But the attorneys are going to challenge this. They're going to challenge this in court. They will write to the president. It might go all the way to the Privy Council. End result is it's going to embarrass Trinidad and Tobago. My final point on that is that we have to understand, too, that a SOE can have a rippling effect to deal with as much damage as what we put the SOE for, which is crime. When you have a state of emergency, half of the persons abroad may very well change their mind and will come in here for carnival, because why will I come to an island in the Caribbean if I hear a state of emergency? So tourists will not come. It will affect the economy. It will affect the investment. It can cause increase in cost of goods and services. It may cause unemployment. And with all of those things, it's a byproduct towards inflation, which all of this can encompass increased crime. So we have to be very careful when we do it. Having said that, I had asked the country that the decision has already been made. As unfortunate as it is, we need to try to find a way to maximize this and to utilize it as best as possible so it can be of benefit to the citizens of this country.
I'm very happy to hear you say that. And I'm thoroughly pleased with the explanation you have given so far in terms of inflation. People need to understand the trickling effects that happens when an SOE is loaded upon a country. Now, Gary, I want to continue because I have just about 30 minutes to chat with you very quick before the news comes at 4 o'clock. Let's talk a little bit. We are heading into an election year. We are currently in an election year, 2025. What is the National Transformation Alliance? What are your position in terms of your readiness to compete against on this national scale?
Well, we are alive and kicking. We are up and running. We are not here to be used as a political tool for any political party Part of the name of it, however, is an alliance, which is we are prepared to have an alliance with other political parties who have the same principles, ideologies, vision as the National Transformation Alliance. But we can't do the same old, same old. The sad thing about it is that when we criticize the PNM, everybody in the UNC jumps up and say, Gary's a good guy. Oh, yeah, we really support Gary. If I make a critical statement pertaining to the UNC, he's a PNM. Because in the concept of the United National Congress, unless you say everything to fully support Kamala Prasad Bisesa, he's a PNM. And we have to get out of that banana republic type of politics. That is the reason why, unfortunately, as much as I was in the UNC executive. I won my seat in the Natex when I was a rookie in politics in 2006. Only Sadiq Bash, Manohar, Ram Saran, and myself. The three of us won our seat against the Basio Pandey slate on the Dukaran slate. So I have the world of respect for the UNC. But the facts remain that the UNC have never won a general election or any election on their own in 36 years in a three-horse race. They have never. 36 years. Trying to do what you did in 2015 and try to form a new political leader of a party and then give him a safe seat to then tell the country, well, look, floating voters vote for the UNC candidates in the marginal because Mr. Mann is now going to get a safe seat in St. Augustine or Chaguanas West. And I'm not calling the Congress of the People or Prakash Ramadan's name. But when you do that, people are not going to buy into that type of cosmetic marriage of convenience. People want to see something genuine. That bridge constituency is what I am here to represent. And I'm here to work with other political parties who have the same type of vision. And I think that is what is required. The end result is what we decide is going to decide the outcome of the general election. Jump high, jump low. What we decide has always decided the outcome of a general election.
Well, that we understand. Now, you was a very strong advocate against Kamala Prasad Bisesa's leadership at one point in time. Did you seek some sort of solidarity or some sort of inclusion in this new partnership that she's attempting to form? I've seen it on the papers. It has been, the headlines I've seen have shown that she has rejected. Were there any intimate talks and she outrightly did not take your calls? What is the consensus? Could you clear the air on that?
Yeah, again, and just to clarify, I mean, many people in the UNC kept saying, Gary, you just need to say nothing. That is political domestic violence. I think there's one word for Kamala Prasad Bisesa in this whole thing, ungrateful. In the local government election, we decided the NTA to take the 31 hardest seats, the seats that the UNC have never won on their own in the history of local government election. Those are all the seats in the Laventils and the Port of Spain's and the Point Fortins that the UNC has never won. I told her, give me the 31 hardest seats. We want to prove our worth, which is what we did. Seats that the UNC lost by 1,500 votes in 2020 local government election, we lost by 110 odd. We cut every single one of those 31 safest, hardest PNM seats by 30 to about 90% in some situations. That showed the power of the NTA. What I also did is I spent more time working with the UNC candidates in San Fernando and Sangre Grande to help the UNC candidates by telling those previous COP, ONR, NAR, and NTA voters, vote for the UNC candidate to help them.
But even though when you did that, I and all felt a bit slighted, because I'm thinking, was it that if you had gotten this alliance between the NTA and the UNC, were you ready to yield to the leadership of Kamala Prasad Bisesa? Because any one of these political entities that get in bed with this new partnership, they have to remember that their ideologies may be stemmed to the side, because Kamala Prasad Bisesa's agenda has to be presented front and foremost. And you said it correctly. If you do not align with her, then you are in opposition to her. So then why would you seek solidarity with someone that you would have, you know, outrightly condemned?
You hit the nail on the head. And that is why in that period, I saw Kamala Prasad Bisesa that the country had enjoyed seeing in 2010. That person who was humble, who was a visionary, somebody who will put on no nonsense to enact in irregular, inappropriate activity. And I said, this is the Kamala that we can work with. And the country believed it. The country bought into it. And that is why the UNC and NT, when you combine the votes, we got 70,000 more votes than the PNM. 70,000. Who told me to do that? That is where it is. The arrogance came in, because all she saw is, look, we defeated the PNM so badly, we don't need anyone. And what she wants is to have third parties as a cosmetic tool to fool the floating voters, the independent voters, the knife and fork voters, to believe, look, there's a space for you in this government. Just vote for the UNC candidates and all the marginals. That is what she did in 2015. That is what she tried in 2020. In 2015 more so. And even in 2010, the UNC just wants 21 seats. And then they will have a UNC government that she could do what she wants, hire who she wants, fire who she wants, do everything. And that is where Gary Griffith, the word out is that firstly, Gary Griffith, it may be too popular and too dynamic that it could affect her. But that happens. We've seen that all over the world, and from kings, sultans, presidents, prime ministers, where they believe that the right hand becomes too strong, too popular, too powerful, and we have to cut them down to size. So, interesting, though, however, the PNM, they don't do that. Patrick Manning saw that with Keith Rowley, but he still kept Keith Rowley because he understood the importance of solidarity. And you'll see that even with the PNM right now. 11-9 voted against the wishes of the political leader, but the 9 are still part of the team. In the UNC, it was 14-5 for the NATEX, and the 5 were automatically deemed as Nimakarams. Yeah. They're PNM agents. They're dissidents. So you see the difference in democracy between the PNM and the UNC. What the UNC wants, or Kamala, I should say, is that she wants Gary Griffith, because the main thing that persons are going to decide is who they're going to vote for, is which party has the best option to provide them with their fundamental right of safety and security. It is not just a Gary Griffith. The team I have comprised of previous commanding officer of the Coast Guard, a very senior major in the Army, one of the best firearm experts in the Caribbean, and several others. So we have a powerful team of national security experts. The PNM and UNC have none whatsoever on either side, none. That is why they make up things, they make plans and ideas. They don't have a concept of an operational plan to transform Trinidad and Tobago's national security. So that is what we have. This is what the UNC wants. But they want it on the condition that you will go, Gary Griffith, you send you in the Diego Martins and the Port of Spain and the Lavant Hills. We just want the 21 UNC seats. And it can't work. I have a very serious problem. I am very disappointed. I'll make this for my first time I'm sitting it here. When I was a Minister of National Security, working with the Commissioner to arrest major gang leaders, when I go to Parliament on a Tuesday, the man next to me being sworn in as a temporary senator was the attorney who was getting the same individuals cleared. And people say, well, it is the right of attorneys to do that. Yes, fine. But not to become a candidate and a possible MP to become a member of the National Security Council. So you have no
conflicting interests. Conflicting interests.
Yeah. This individual was instrumental in several major gang leaders presently being out on bail and releasing them. And that is his right. But there's a saying, you can't be half pregnant. She has selected this individual. Don't be surprised that a UNC government could comprise Wayne Sturge as the Attorney General, Philip Alexander as Minister of National Security, and Panama Hat, as the Commissioner of Police. So when you look at a team like that, and you look at a team like that, and that is what she wants. I have serious issues. I had issues with Live Sport. I was the minister who stood up against the government because Live Sport was $400 million littered with mismanagement and gangs having full access to funds of tens of millions of profit that they were using towards building. The country has not recovered from that Live Sport situation. She wants to have people in her government that is not going to do what I did, stand up against Live Sport. She seems not to want to have persons like Gary Griffith, that if it is that there's a police investigation and the police say, Gary, we think you could have some information that could help us pinpoint if somebody broke the law. And Gary says, okay, I'll speak the truth. How dare you? I was fired as a minister because I insisted that I will speak the truth. She seems to have a problem with that. I remember when I was minister, we were opening a police station. The biggest gang leader was behind us. I told Special Branch, take his wicked fellas. We have him. So we can't do that. I said, why? She said, the person who's in charge of this actually gave him the contract to build the police station. The wow. biggest gang leader built the police station. I have problems with that. And now you have brought an individual who is the most filthy, disgusting words you could ever hear from a human being. Philip Alexander has attacked women. He has said the nastiest things about Kamala. He has stated that people should burn after a lady died whilst trying to save her children. He mocks people whilst they are grieving. He calls women, abuses them.
So then what would you say about Stuart Young and the hot mic situation? Minister Stuart Young would have made some statements against the opposition leader. What would your thoughts be on that, given the fact that the Prime Minister has nominated him to be his successor?
Well, he has to pay the political price for that. But again, there's a difference. I would have made comments in private about certain persons. But if it is that there's a difference with you being bold enough to make a public statement and say that women who are PNM are B-words.
Yeah, but Mr. Griffith, I don't think he made up. That was a private moment. Like you rightfully said, you would have, you'd have your banter behind the scenes. This was a hot mic situation where he wasn't aware the mic was still on when he made the situation. So in all fairness, we can't accuse the man of saying something publicly when he thought the mics were cold. You know, but my question to you is, based on the fact that the hot mic situation happened, is he fit? Should he be in public domain? I say yes. I don't have a problem with it. It was an error. That was his personal thoughts. He didn't come on a public platform and declare such, like you rightfully said.
I mean, when would it stop? Because if that's the case, then Kamala should not be selected when she refers to people as blank man. I mean, we could go on and on. Mm-hmm. So is it that every time somebody makes an isolated mistake, that becomes the avenue? It is for us to understand and analyze that people make mistakes. But like Philip Alexander making the same mistake every single day, saying the nastiest, most disgusting things about people.
As you mentioned, but I have limited time and I just need to cramp and squeeze these things into you. There's a lot of political leaders of various parties trying to ascend to prime ministerial office. We have Kizel Jackson, Watson Duke, Philip Alexander, such. But these people, when you look at their social media posts and the things they are saying and the behavior, do you think that they are fit to take office?
Well, and that is where polls are. The polls conducted will show that, again, the UNC does not have a snowball chance in hell to win any of the marginals without the support of bona fide, legitimate, well-respected third parties such as the NTA. And she's not going to win. If she foolishly believes that, based on polls, that she's getting to say, oh, no, we are going to win, we have this covered. I'll show you the example. She's looking at the local government election where it shows that the UNC candidates will probably get more votes than the PNM candidates in San Fernando, not understanding that I was the one who did the walk in. I walked 8 hours a day with candidates. And for every four or five houses, at least one who said they were going to vote for the UNC, they said they did it because of us. And so she's accumulating the NTA/previous COP, ONR, NR, NAR voters and seeing that as people voting for the UNC candidate. It doesn't work that way. She's going to pay the political price yet again. The UNC, you see what happens, the support they have in Deep South and Central, which is very powerful, very strong, which makes them a very well-respected, powerful party. Those individuals cannot vote twice. The marginal voters in the corridor where the UNC does not understand those marginal voters, they are very sensitive persons, and they are not going to be easily intimidated or fooled to believe that just bring in Prakash, give him a safe seat, and let's say, look, you see, all is well and good. Floating voters, you can vote for the UNC candidates in all the other marginals, so we could get 21 seats, and then give all the other third parties the 12 or 14 seats that the PNM will always win. And then you have 21 seats using the third parties, and now you have a Kamala-run government that could do a repeat of life support and everything else. That is the point. That is my condition. It is non-negotiable. I am standing firm to it. And she has already said that she has no intention to work with the NTA. Notice the hypocrisy. She said she's not working with the NTA because of my comments about Julian John. All I said about Julian John on three occasions, and it can be confirmed, I said Julian is insisting that the UNC goes alone, which is a recipe for the PNM success. Kamala has now admitted that what I was stating all the time is true by having a cosmetic footwork with Philip Alexander, Garvin, who has a political party with his wife and his two children. Mm-hmm. Philip Alexander, whose whole party has now left him. He does press releases and media things in his car. And that is because she knows what I said was true. And you have a problem with that. Yet Philip Alexander, who referred to you as a canal conk, said the nastiest things about you.
For real.
That he voted for Keith Rowley, who said he will do everything in his power to make sure you do not win. She needs to understand and read Troy and understand what is a Trojan horse. A Trojan horse goes in, deliberately fools you. And then when the time comes, when he decides to explode, the same floating voters will not believe him because they said he was inside there. He knows exactly what is going
on. But Gary, could that be seen as though it's a desperate ploy to get the Helmut government once again? Could it be a sign of desperation that she's employing these persons, bringing them into her inner fold, knowing of the things that they would have said? She would have pardoned their errors. That could be seen as a sign of desperation.
It is, because she understands fully well that the UNC they cannot win alone. But bringing in cosmetic individuals to stand up there, and for every one vote Philip Alexander brings, the UNC are going to lose 10,000. Mm. The floating voters they despise that. The reason the floating voters have a problem with Keith Rowley and his arrogance and his personality is Keith Rowley looks like Gandhi compared to Philip Alexander. So when Philip Alexander is next to Kamala Prasad Bisesa, she must now take ownership and responsibility for the actions. Why would anyone want to have an individual like that in your government? I definitely will recommend to any floating voter, you need to stay far from individuals like that. But what she has done is she has brought in the Wayne Sturge, the Philip Alexander, individuals who have been instrumental to give gang state contracts, other individuals who are very closely and emotionally involved with gang members. It looks messy. It is unfortunate. It is not practical. And I am insisting that I intend to, for the next government, to fix this country. What has destroyed this country since 2006 is Patrick Manning starting by referring to these gang members as community leaders. And then we just continue the process by Life Sport, Color Me Orange, Hoop of Life, CPEP, URP, Eastern Port of Spain. We have done everything we can do to give these gang members the opportunity to succeed. You give them a $10 million contract to build a $1 million box ring. They use the $9 million to purchase more sophisticated weapons, to hire more gang members, to put hits on other gang members, to pay off rogue police officers and the judiciary. And all of that, it is the government, it is politicians that continue to do that. I stood firm against it in the People's Partnership. I stood firm against Keith Rowley when I was Commissioner of Police. And that I stand firm again. I am not going to negotiate with criminal elements. And I stand firm. And anyone who wants to say that they want to accept that, well, then vote for your yellow or red.
Mr. Gary Griffith, within the last few years, we would have seen the highest murder rate under the PNM and, of course, under the direction and leadership of the National Security Minister, Fitzgerald Hines. When you was in office, you would have implemented strategic planning, technology, all these things you instituted. I said on this radio station, when people accuse and say Gary brought in 500,000 bullets and he bring extra one set of bullets in the country, give people FULs. I said, for time and time again, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we have about 9 minutes to go, they would have given you a 10 by 10 playing field and say, Gary Griffith, as the Commissioner of Police, this is your perimeter to operate under. Many commissioners of police in the past take the little corner and the function right here. You use the whole playing field. I believe that you did nothing that warrants any charges to be brought against you. However, that's why they couldn't do it. I ask you on national radio, where is the technology and the initiatives that you implemented as Commissioner of Police? What happened when you demitted office and they passed the baton on to the rest? What went wrong?
Okay. Well, basically what went wrong is what has happened for the last few decades with change of administrations, change in government. Out of petty politics, small-mindedness, you shut down and you dismantle everything that was done before. And this is even the UNC, the People's Partnership, even us, we were to blame for that. Well, we shut down the blimp, we shut down the OPV, we shut down SOAT, and we didn't change it, replace it with anything until I became minister in 2013. Instead of the OPVs, I got the diamond vessels for $1.2 billion less. Instead of SOAT, I got this National Security Special Operation Group. Instead of the blimp, I got the approval to bring in drones. Nothing was done for the 3 years under the UNC. And the same thing happened with me as Commissioner of Police. Every single thing I put in place, it took me 18 months. When I hear the stupidity by Kamala Prasad Bisesa to say that crime went up under Gary, it went up because of your failure to continue to implement the things that I established. So it took me 18 months to transform the police service. The public trust and confidence in the police service was 14% when I took over in August 2018. By the end of 2019, public trust and confidence was 59%.
It was.
From the lowest public trust and confidence in any arm of the public service to the highest. The public trust in the commissioner was 10%. Under Gary Griffith, it was 79%, the highest of any person in public office in the history of Trinidad and Tobago. So when Kamala tries to trivialize that and rubbish it, she's afraid to face facts. And what caused it is that we took away the perception and fear of crime. We implemented the National Operations Center, the Emergency Response Patrol, the Gender-Based Violence Unit, body cameras, tasers, pepper spray, GPS tracking, area of responsibility for vehicles, making sure that they have simulation theaters to train, customer service training, public relation training, making sure that we have an effective E999 system and social media monitoring unit. Technology that puts an end to kidnapping. The first time in history, kidnapping came to an end. We were able to rescue victims whilst being held, 12 of them. That never happened before or after. So we put an end to kidnapping. We put an end to home invasion. We put an end to extortion by having covert operatives. all of these things were shut down and removed. Now, let me quickly add the stupidity by Kamala Persaud-Bisesa to have the audacity to question and say, well, the massive reduction in crime with Gary was because of COVID. The fact of the matter is, if you look at Jamaica, Guyana, and almost every city in North America during COVID, inclusive of New York, Boston, LA, Detroit, Chicago, crime actually increased during COVID. Why? Mm-hmm. Businesses were shutting down, cost of goods and services going up, people being frustrated, domestic violence, loss of jobs, inflation. So crime went up during those periods, and it went down after COVID. So I guess they missed the memo of Kamala Persaud-Bisesa that COVID caused crime to go down.
Mr. Gary Griffith, I'm going to ask you very candidly and very straightforward. Did you try to create any sort of special unit or a Gary Griffith police service while you were commissioner of police, Gary?
Yeah, let me try. You know, because you'll say no, yeah, because I try to form the police service into my image and likeness, which is to be patriotic, which is to do the job well, and to serve the country with pride. And so, yes, I did. A team is usually molded around the leader. Mm. And that is why you would have seen my leadership of being out in the front, being out where no political leader could do what I will do, which is walk several hours every single day, which is why Kamala asked me to walk with her candidates because she can't, which is why I, as Commissioner of Police, will be in sea lots in Lavantil, yeah, up at the front, at the fire line, being prepared to take the first bullet. So, yes, I transformed the police service into my image and likeness, and that's why they were prepared to do what was required. That is why in that 3 years, not one police officer was killed in the line of duty, because I put fear into the criminals and people had a problem with that. No, police officers are being used as target practice.
Now, you also changed uniforms. Is that part of the remit of the Commissioner of Police? Are you authorized to give them camouflage? They said Gary was creating an elite unit similar to what Randolph Burrows did. These are the comments on the ground, Mr. Griffith. This is not the comments of Freedom or Guardian. So I'm just seeking to clear the air on the misfits and because on my show, I would get numerous calls and Gary tried to give people uniforms, and I always say he did nothing that he was not allowed to do. Other commissioners of police didn't do it. He did it. So I'm asking, did you create uniforms and that was outside of your purview?
You know, again, the people who speak are illiterates. They don't know, and they will sometimes speak on behalf of, because they are blinded by politics. The Commissioner of Police has authority if he makes the relevant requests to the Minister of National Security, and it was approved. So again, this is why they always continue to lie. And what we had to do is the transformation of the police service needed to change that 1960s colonial gray and old uniform. The uniform that I had was equivalent to the NYPD. It allowed a clip for the radio. It allowed a belt with tasers, pepper spray, body cameras, the weapon. And it would have changed the image. How you dress, how you look is how you feel, how you act, how you walk. That is what I did. So it was a transformation. Similar to, let me quickly add before we run off, even though I did with firearms. Notice 4 years later, not one person has been arrested based on any of these so-called audits, because they were all lies. I went and issued 6,000 firearms out of over 20 or 30,000 people who required it. 3,000 would have been to law enforcement officials. Not one was lost. Not one was stolen. Not one was used for a crime. In fact, dozens upon dozens of lives were saved. And every single thing I did was there. It was authorized. Not at no time did I ever give an illegal weapon to anyone, an automatic firearm to anyone. Kamala Persaud-Bisesa again misleading the country, stating that someone got an automatic firearm. That is impossible. The commission is not allowed to do that. But she, unfortunately, the UNC does not even have. I think the most senior person in the UNC, as it pertains to security, is a man who was a corporal. Who's up as a candidate in somewhere in the East-West Corridor. He's a corporal, somebody who's in charge of two persons. So she has nobody with any knowledge, training, or qualification in law enforcement or criminological theory. So she will make these stupid mistakes. As it pertains to firearms, what I did was stop the corruption, because what was happening is police officers were holding back firearms for decades at stations and bribing persons. If you want this, it has to go up. I put an end to it. I said, after 3 months, if you can't find out, you can't justify why the person must not get it, it comes up to the firearm department. And by me doing that, it ensured supply and demand. Once people could get it easier, then you don't have to be blackmailed and bribed, and extortion will take place. So that is why I put an end to that. And the criminals, the rogue elements in the police were upset. They were upset that I was able to remove many of them in specific locations that were controlling drug blocks. They were upset that I put $100 million overtime annual corruption where officers were claiming they were working 24 hours a day. So the rogue elements had a whisper in the ear of government officials. The government officials foolishly took the bait. But you can see after 4 years later, not one person has even been arrested, far less questioned as it pertains to all of these audits. And like, because what the audits are, the Stanley John report and everything, it is rumored, it has been reported, and we have been told. In other words, rum shop talk. Rum shop talk is what has been used so often to discredit people in this country.
Gary Griffith, I want to thank you so much for chatting with us here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Don't be a stranger. We most definitely will catch up again in the not-too-distant future. You have really cleared the air this afternoon, and I thank you for that.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.